This is the With a Dog podcast, a podcast for the modern dog parent. I'm your host, Carly, and every Wednesday I bring on pet professionals or some fellow dog parents, and we laugh, learn, and commiserate about everything from the confusing vet visits to dog park etiquette to the 2 a.m. potty breaks. Essentially, life with a dog. Hello, people with a dog. Hope everyone is having a great day. If you're new here, I'm Carly. We've been doing this for almost 4 years now. I call this podcast a podcast for the modern dog parent because that just means we talk about all dog parent things. Sometimes it's interviewing a veterinarian, sometimes it's a rescue, sometimes it's an Instagram, Dogstagram person. Today, it is a small business owner and entrepreneur, Claire of the Dog Mom Co. And I'm actually recording this intro a while ahead of when this episode comes out because, as you guys know, I will be on vacation in Japan. Super excited. Usually I record it literally the night before the episode comes out on, so I record it on Tuesday night and then the episode comes out on Wednesday. I'm a week ahead this time, so I don't have many life updates for you. So instead, I'm going to jump straight into talking about this great interview with Claire. So Claire was actually referred to me by Lita from Woof and Wonder, if you guys remember that episode that was actually about a year ago now. So if you didn't hear that episode, definitely go back and check it out because that was one of the great ones. I think it was called Dog Poop But Make It Cute or something like that. Anyway, Lita recommended Claire because they are friends. They both work in this small business dog product industry. And Claire was such a delight. So fun to talk to. We really got into the nitty-gritty of entrepreneurship, and she is also a new mom. So we talked about kind of the changing feelings and questioning identity and roles and stuff as a dog mom who owns a dog business but now has a child. We really talked about so much, and she was so honest and authentic. I think this is a really great episode to listen to, even if you're not an entrepreneur, even if you're not into that. We talked about struggling kind of with ADHD and time management, thinking outside of the box, maintaining creativity over time. We really discussed so much. So I hope you guys enjoy, and let's get straight into it with Claire. Claire, welcome to the With a Dog podcast.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. First off, in case no one sees, you know, the reels or clips that are going to be made of this episode, what I'm looking at, got all of her products behind you. You got your merch sweater on already, the Dog Mom Co. sweater. It's very much like, this is the business.
This is Dog Mom.
Yeah. Yep. This is the Dog Mom Co. Well, before we learn more about the Dog Mom Co. and your entire story with that, how are you currently? How's life? How's dog mom life? What's going on?
It's different. It's been a bit of a struggle, but it's also, you know, we're finding ways to bring it back. So I had my son 18 months ago, and there's been a lot of change with that and navigating how to be a good dog mom to them and how to be a good mom to my son. And so it's been different, but it's going good.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a big transition. I'm definitely going to ask you about that, though, too, because that's something I have been thinking about as well, too, about like the whole kids to dog balance. And actually, my other side hobby that I love listening to podcasts on is like health and wellness stuff. So I was literally just listening to a podcast about postpartum nutrition and like, you know, all of that, even though I'm like not in that space at all at the moment. I find all of it really fascinating. And they said that postpartum basically lasts like 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're like still kind of like coming out of it soon, hopefully.
Very much so. I feel like once I hit 2024, things started, I came out of the fog. You know, I was stuck in this like postpartum fog for so long. I didn't know what was what. And now looking back, I'm like, what was I doing? Like, where was I?
Yeah. I felt like that, honestly, the same until like 2024 as well. Like, yeah. I would just,
Yeah, it's kind of, it was like pandemic until 2022. And then 2023, I tore my Achilles. So I was kind of like in this weird, like not moving around thing too. And then, yeah, I feel like this year, for some reason, I also feel a little bit of a renewal for a very different reason than you, obviously.
I'm fine.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it feels like. Interesting. I definitely want to ask you more about that. But otherwise, it sounds like everything's, it's getting there. It's going well.
Yep.
Good. On that note, since this is the With a Dog podcast, I ask everyone what a recent With a Dog win you've had. So that could be related, since you have a pet business, or dog mom related, life related, whatever.
Yeah. So my son is 18 months and I've been trying to instill in him like a love for dogs and a respect for dogs. So my win is we went to my friend's house the other day and she just got a new puppy, and I've been kind of, you know, talking to him and teaching him, like, we need to be gentle, we need to be kind to dogs, we need to respect them. And the biggest win was when he looked at me to make sure it was okay to pet him first before he went and pet him. So that was a big win, that he's just, like, understanding that dogs are different. We need to be kind, we need to be gentle. Mm-hmm. And so that's great, because I want him to grow up being a good dog lover and eventually maybe a dog owner. One of his first words was dog. So I think I'm...
You're doing good.
Doing good.
Yeah. No, I can only imagine how big of a win that must have felt, just because not only, as you said, you want to, you know, raise him to be respectful towards dogs and everything, but also I think for me, a concern of mine is like that balance of kid and dog. And so the knowing that you've also made sure to take those extra measures and stuff and not kind of forget about the dog aspect through parenthood is... Yeah, I can only imagine that would feel really good to know that you've done that.
There's a lot of kids that I've seen that just don't know how to interact with dogs. So it was really important for me to kind of start that young.
Yeah, no, good for you. On the note of dogs, let's talk about your dogs. So Boone and Georgia, is that right?
Yep.
And are they German Shorthair Pointers?
Yes, they're both German Shorthair Pointers. Some people think Georgia is a lab, a chocolate lab, because she's all brown. Mm. But she is a German Shorthair Pointer. And Boone is also, and he's a liver roan. So he's got the spots and like the brown saddleback, and they're very high energy. They're fun.
How old are they?
Boone is 8 and Georgia is 7.
When did you get them? Did you get them at the same time or right after each other? Are they related?
We got Boone when he was a puppy. And then we got Georgia when she was about 9 months.
Okay.
We drove to Alabama to get her. I saw her on Instagram, on a breeder's Instagram page, or a kennel's Instagram page, and they had trained her to be a duck dog. So my husband, he hunts and he does a lot with conservation. So Boone was his first hunting dog.
Okay.
And then we got Georgia a year or so after her, or after Boone, and added her to our family.
Into the mix.
Yeah.
Okay. So are they both hunting dogs then?
They were bred to be hunting dogs. Boone is the hunting dog. It's his favorite thing to do. He loves to hunt. He loves to be outside. Georgia is our failed hunting dog. She had all the intention to be it, but it wasn't her thing. She didn't like it. And I was like, we're not pushing it. She's just going to do her thing.
Yeah. She can just hang out at home. Yep. She's fine. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So you got both of them. And how did they bond? Because they're pretty like close in age. Was it pretty easy? You just like brought home Georgia and then they played together and it
basically
was great?
Yeah. They're a very social breed. So they kind of instantly fell in love and they became best friends. And so it was good from the beginning.
I really fell in love with English Shorthair Pointers and German Shorthair Pointers when I was living in the UK, and because there were so many there. I mean, they're a breed that's like, they're not uncommon in the US, I feel like, but it felt like there were a lot more there. And it was so much fun. They're just like all around good dogs. Like if you can keep up with the energy level and stuff like that, but they also don't seem like neurotic level energy level either. Sometimes? Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
In general, no. They're really, really great dogs. They are very much Velcro dogs. At least mine are. They have to be with people at all times. They just love running, and they have to have a job. They have to be doing something.
Okay.
If they're not doing something or don't have a purpose, that's when you get the craziness.
Do they get naughty? Like, they'll go find something to do, kind of? Or do they get, like, anxious naughty where they, like, tear up a couch?
Well, okay. So Boone is the naughty, I'm going to go take stuff out of the trash. And Georgia is too, but she has pretty bad separation anxiety.
Okay.
Which we could talk about this later on, but she is currently not living with me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She is at my parents'. So she's been at my parents' for about 3 months because she was having a really hard time adjusting to our new normal, you know, with River. So she was being more destructive, and she was crying, and she always wanted to be with us, but there were some times where she couldn't be with us, and she had to be in our dog room, but she wanted to be with us. And it was just, my parents' dog passed away at the beginning of 2023, so they were missing having a dog. So I was like, let's have vacation time. George is going to go to vacation at my parents. And, you know, it's not a forever thing, but it's a way we've had to pivot since having my son into keeping the dogs happy and comfortable, you know? It was a really kind of hard decision to make. I mean, like I said, it's not final, but it's something we've had to do to, you know, keep her happy.
Yes. Well, you know what? Okay, let's just actually, I'll just get into that right now since we're on the topic of having a human child and not just the dogs. I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's kind of one of those things that I think there's a huge stigma or a lot of horror stories where you can judge people on, like, something changed in their life and they had to get rid of their dog. And not that you got rid of Georgia, but I just mean, like, something had to change lifestyle wise. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because I actually worked with a lot of people when I was, when I worked at a local shelter. I did a lot of the, like, intake program, and it was people either having to give up their dog for whatever reason or rehoming them, kind of like for whatever reason. And, you know, some of those stories were really stupid. You know, like, some people I was just like, I can't believe you're doing this, but honestly, I'd rather have the dog in the shelter, you know, going to a good home than you trying to, you know, make something work that wouldn't be great for the dog. So some of them weren't great, but some of them it really was like, look, we, you know, we absolutely love our dog, and we would, you know, we tried, you know, with grandparents, or we tried with this or whatever. And it really changed my mind that sometimes there are situations where a lifestyle shakeup needs to happen. And I thought about that actually when my older dog Lupin, who passed away in the fall, but I kind of thought, I was like, you know, let's think outside of the box a little bit. I would love to spend more time with him, but having two dogs was taking away sometimes my time with him in his senior years. I was, you know, so I was like, can I send my younger dog Albus down with my parents and he can live there for a few months because they live a very active lifestyle and they're hiking all the time and stuff. And Albie would absolutely love that. And my parents absolutely love him. So I did have those thoughts too. And I didn't even have a kid or anything, you know, it was more just like, I think we need to normalize making these different hard decisions sometimes for the greater good.
Yeah, there's definitely a stigma.
Exactly. So, well, so thank you for being, you know, honest about that and talking about it. Because it is, yeah, it is like a stigma and kind of a weird thing. You know, a lot of people are like, I could never, you know, I could never be without my dog. But if you have a solution like you did with Georgia, where you're able to see her very frequently, she's in a loving home.
Away.
Yeah.
I get pictures all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, she's living her best life over there on vacation. Like,
yes. Yeah, exactly.
Good. So it worked out well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about Albus too, because my parents were always like, maybe Albus can come down and hang out with us for a while. Because they just love him so much. And it would be like vacation because they have a lake house. And so it's like he would be thrilled. So anyway, so on that note, though, did you have, before you decided to have your son, what was the kind of concerns or thoughts that kind of went through your head as a dog mom? Because I think that is a fear for a lot of dog moms.
Yeah. So we didn't River was kind of a surprise. So I moved into my office space that I'm leasing. I signed the lease in the same month I found out I was pregnant. So I couldn't turn back. I couldn't unsign the lease. And I was pregnant and I couldn't unsign the lease. So I kind of had to just figure it out as I went. You know, I didn't have a rough pregnancy, but it was tough. I mean, I had to probably carry more than I wanted to. And there was just a lot. My energy level was tanked and I had to keep running a business. And now on top of having to pay extra each month to have my business in a location, I had to keep that going. And with less energy, it was like not the most fun, but here I am.
You made it.
Yeah.
How did it affect your dog mom life? Like, as you said, less energy. Was it harder to, you know, walk Georgia and Boone every day and, you know, play with them? Anything like that?
Definitely. So we have a pretty decent, good sized backyard. So a lot of our exercise with them is going outside and playing instead of like doing walks. We take them on walks every now and then, but they do most of their getting rid of energy outside in the backyard with playing and running, and we do lots of training and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't able to be as present because I had so much going on. Mm. So finding ways to bring more enrichment. Georgia loves to do a lot of nose work. So I worked with her on like teaching her how to sniff things out in the backyard and bring things to me. Lots of training, lots of, you know, those like touch buttons, the talking touch buttons.
Yeah.
They love those. They love doing that stuff. So working their brain, getting that energy out so that I, you know, could be less present.
Yeah. You made a good point because I didn't even think about, or I guess for me, when I think about a lot of like dog mom life, balancing dogs and kids, I think of it once the kid has arrived. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about like the whole, you know, 9-10 months of pregnancy where it's like you're exhausted, you're growing a human. Yeah. You may have less time, less ability to not only be present, but also less energy to spend with your dogs too.
Yeah. And they adapted really well. Like, something that I would wake up later, and they were fine with that. They made that work, so I thank them for that. So a lot of little things like that, like, but they adapted really quickly, and they're adapting now, which Boone has adapted more to having a little human running around now.
So you were hustling the business, pregnant, new lease, two dogs. Did you have any kind of like identity crisis, I guess, as far as the dog mom co?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Tell me
and
about
I'm
that.
Still struggling with it. It's so weird. So before pregnancy, I have a business called the Dog Mom Co. And then I have a human child. This is what's going on in my head. Can I call myself a dog mom anymore? Can I continue having the Dog Mom Co. business? It was such a dumb thing to struggle with, but I still struggle with it. Like it's so weird. I started the business with wanting anybody who called themselves a dog mom to be able to shop here and find something for them, you know, whether they never want kids, they have kids, they just love dogs. I wanted to be, accessible to everybody who wants to be a dog mom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, it was such a weird like transition of like, if I can even call myself a dog mom anymore, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was so dumb to even think that.
Well, I think it is one of those things that, because I feel that sometimes as well, as far as like identity, because I used to be working a lot more in the pet industry. And now I've been doing the podcast mainly. And now I have a dog that's like extremely easy. And so I find myself not getting hyper fixated on dog mom life as much as I did when I had my more difficult dog. And so it's kind of, I have it in a different way, but it is one of those things that I could go on a rant, honestly, about how I think as women, we tend to either get labeled or we end up like labeling ourselves sometimes, or like we put ourselves into a box. And so sometimes, you know, as you said, you started this business with, you wanted anyone, whether they have kids or not, or, you know, whatever age they are, anything, to be able to get a product of yours. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that there's a lot of like either public perception or we fear that people are going to think that.
Exactly.
So of course, now you know, you still can continue the Dog Mom Co. as well as having a kid.
Yeah. And I've kind of tried to combat myself by offering things for kids. So I've got like little t-shirts that I'll put the same design on, and then you can match your kids.
Yeah. No, I imagine how that would have been a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of it is also the internet and you know, you're self-employed and it's just, you have to market through social media and the internet and stuff, but also sometimes they attack you. So did you get any kickback at all when people were like from the internet, or was everyone,
no,
has everyone been more or less supportive?
It's been a lot of support.
That's good.
TikTok is where most of the mean people come in. I haven't met any of that really on Instagram much, which I'm thankful for, but I also try not to like post too, not controversial, but post too much about like letting in that kind of hate comments and stuff like that. I try and keep my content happy and about dogs and not about let's fight this opinion, you know?
Okay. No, that's great. Well, now that we're on the topic of the Dog Mom Co., let's backtrack. I want to hear how you even started it. What's the entrepreneur story and how it's kind of evolved since then?
So I started in, I think it was September of 2017, and I had graduated college in 2016. And so I got a job right out of college, and I quickly learned that I didn't want to do that forever. Mm-hmm. Like working for someone else was not my favorite. So I started, and I needed a creative outlet. So I started the Dog Mom Co. On Etsy. I just put a few shirts up there. I was using print-on-demand services, which basically I create the designs, I upload them, and I had printing partners that would print it out and send it to the customer for me. So I didn't have to hold any inventory, which was key because we lived in a really small house at the time. So I couldn't have a business in my house. I didn't have enough room. So then I got my own website, and I think it was 2018, and Instagram was where things really kind of took off. I got to that 10K milestone super quick, and the business kind of grew from there, like really quickly. And then I ended up switching jobs in between there, and I started a job as an animal talent agent, still while running the Dog Mom Co. And then the pandemic hit and things went crazy. My printing suppliers were having trouble meeting their fulfillment times. Things were so backed up. My customers were getting incorrect orders. It was just an absolute mess, and I couldn't keep using them. I mean, it was like 3 weeks out, that they were getting orders. So I learned from YouTube how to screen print myself, and I bought a Cricut, and I would print or cut a screen print screen on the vinyl, put it to my screen print, and I would screen print everything myself in my living room. We had moved by then, so we had a bigger house. It was a little bit more possible, but it was still wild. And then that just, I mean, that was around the time TikTok was really, you know, getting traction, and things just kind of exploded. More people were shopping online with the pandemic, and my business just kind of kept growing and growing and growing. And then I was able to replace my salary with the Dog Mom Co. And then in beginning of 2021, I went full time with it. And
oh my goodness. Yeah. You know what? Okay. I think that is probably one of the best, like, true entrepreneur stories I've heard. As far as like, you know, you started it just as a side thing with the hopes that it would become something. And then you had struggles with it and you had to, like, okay, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and figure out how to do it yourself.
Majorly.
Yeah. And then you were hustling it, it sounds like, for, you started in 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what, 4 years before you were able to take it full time yourself?
Yeah. I mean, up till then, honestly, it wasn't even, I mean, yeah, you have the dream where you're like, oh, I want to do this full time forever. But I never really saw the vision because it was not growing at, you know, what it would need to be for me to do it full time until 2020, things kind of took off then.
No, exactly. It's one of those, it's very interesting because I think I've been more aware of that being in this industry also, of kind of just like doing it yourself and maybe it's not making a lot of money, but at the same time you get fulfilled by it, you know, and it's just, but also you hear the stories of if you do stick with it, you may end up getting that success that you never thought would come, but then it does. And you, it's just because you've been putting in that hard work this whole time. And you were ready once that opportunity did come. You had been doing it for years. You knew how to do it yourself. You could manage it yourself. And you were like, all right, you could hit the ground running from there and take that opportunity too. Also, we were talking earlier before we started recording about, we both have ADHD. And it's interesting too, because I feel very similar to you as far as the, it's hard sometimes to fit into normal, like, 9-to-5 work, or it's hard to, when you're like unfulfilled by your work. And I've found a lot of personal flexibility with being able to do like my own thing. Not that you can't work, obviously, in normal world with ADHD. Like, I'm not saying that, but it's interesting that you said that. But also, I don't know how you are able to do a detailed, like, creative craft, like, basically, because I don't know, every single thing that I've tried to do, whether it's a Cricut or whatever, details are not my forte. And I always was kind of like, oh, it's an ADHD thing. So do you struggle with that at all?
So my biggest ADHD, like, downfall is not completing things.
Yeah.
So I'm okay. Yeah, with,
so how do you run a business?
Details. I don't know. You should see the amount of uncompleted designs I have from years back that I just forgot about or didn't launch because it wasn't like done. And then I was like, okay, move on to the next thing. Oh, move on to the next thing. Like, I'm looking at things that, like, they should be up on the website because they're good to go, but I can't. Like, I just can't do it.
You know what? Okay, this is very inspirational for me because I have a hard time completing things as well. It's like when something's detail oriented, like you said, you printed it, like you screen printed yourself and like onto the sweaters or the t-shirts or whatever. I'm like, I just know if I did that, it would be crooked. Like, there's no way it would be a straight line across that shirt or whatever.
There's tools to help with that. And I have to get them.
Okay. Yeah.
I have to use it every time. I tried doing it just like from looking at it. It's never right. My brain goes too fast for that. I have to use tools.
Okay. No, that's definitely good to know because I too have a lot of ideas that I have never implemented. And it is, it's a finishing thing.
Yeah.
But at least I guess with your, it's probably like me with the podcast of when you know someone's expecting it, then you get it out.
Exactly.
Someone has ordered it. Someone has put their money into it. You get it out. And that's how I do usually get the episode out every Wednesday too. Yeah. It's like, I know people are waiting for it. Therefore, I need to get it out.
Even with like launches, it's kind of like an accountability thing. Like, I'll put something out and say like, this is going to come. And it's like, whenever I get fixing it. So I'm going to tell you about it so that I actually start working on it. So,
well, that's good because
that's my little hack.
That's a good hack. I'm happy that works because I think I've told my poor listeners that merch is coming for the last 3 years and I don't know. I think it's also I'm a little bit, I wouldn't call myself a perfectionist, but I think it's one of those things that, and you tell me if you feel this too, I'm sure you do, of when someone's putting their hard-earned money towards a product that you're offering, it's like, I want it to be perfect. Like, I yeah. want it to be worth it. Absolutely. So how do you ever like struggle with that a little bit yeah. at all? Or did you at the beginning?
Yes. And I have to tell myself that, what is it? Done is better than perfect. Mm-hmm. That is like, I need to like tattoo it on me, because if I don't just say, okay, this is done, it's never going to move.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to get it posted. It's never going to happen. You just have to finish it and just push it away. Done.
Yes.
It's ready to go.
That's what a few of my listeners have even said. They're like, Carly, we just want the merch. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we will just take the image ourselves and slap it on a t-shirt yeah. ourselves. Like, at this point, like, it doesn't have to be like the best thing we've ever bought. Yeah. And so I need to take that to heart a little bit too, of like, whatever you put out will be definitely good enough.
We are our worst critic, you know? And so you always think that something could be better, or I can tweak this a little bit more to make it perfect. Mm-hmm. But then that's where you gotta tell yourself again, just make it done. It's done. It's ready.
Have you experienced any other big struggles within the business? So like, we talked about a little bit of like the logistical struggles, like the printing and all of that, having to do it yourself, and then kind of the perfectionist aspect and unfinished, you know, designs. And we've talked about the identity a little bit when you had River. Was there anything else that you really noticed, like a challenge that you faced, whether it was mental and emotional or anything like that?
Yeah. So when the business was in my house, it was a really big struggle, like a work-life balance struggle, because I literally had boxes in my living room, inventory everywhere, packing supplies everywhere. I had, you know, UPS dropping off inventory every other day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I couldn't get away from it. Not that I want to get away from it, but like, I love my business, but you need that time away from something to be able to continue doing it, you know?
Yes. So
burnout was really real. And that's why I started leasing this office space, because I just had to get everything out of the house. It had to leave. it had to have its designated space. Like,
yeah.
We couldn't do it in the house anymore. My husband was like, I'm going to go crazy if there's any more of your stuff coming.
I bet.
It was a lot.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I really struggled with that, especially during the pandemic as well, where the world was also shut down and you're like stuck inside doing your work. And and especially, I imagine you don't interface with many people with the Dogma & Co. either, right? Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, your community, but as far as the, it's not like you're jumping on Zooms constantly, right?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of alone time with me, you know, like, it's a lot of one-on-one work with what I'm working on with my hands. I don't have many calls. And if I do, it's with suppliers and things like that. So it was just me and the work for so long in this one little house. And it was like I couldn't turn off business mode. So because it was all around me, you know, and I needed to move it away. So that really helped my mental clarity and burnout and all that, to have a separate space for it away from it. So I have home and work.
Yeah.
But my office is about 10 minutes away, which is like the perfect commute, you know. So if I need to get work done, I go to the office, or I do work from home still now, but I have a desk and I don't have piles of inventory everywhere anymore.
Yes. Well, on that note of needing space away from something, I've experienced that as well, of when you take a little bit of time away, even if it's just like mental time, then you can be more creative on the overall, or at least Definitely. That's my experience.
Yeah.
So how do you continue creating new designs year after year? And I don't know, how do you keep up the creativity, not only for doing it for as many years as you have been, but also I feel like the times are changing a little bit as far as like what's cool and what's, you know, trendy and is a little, I mean, I don't know how old you are exactly, but like the whole, you know, millennial versus Gen Z styles, and, you know, like you want to be able to accommodate everyone. So how do you keep that creativity going?
I'm am I 30 or am I 31? Oh my gosh, I don't know. But I'm a millennial.
Okay. Yeah. Same. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Like the changes and like trending things and design things is so different, and it has been a struggle because it's like, I don't know if I really like this, and I don't want to design things that I don't like. Mm-hmm. So it has been kind of struggling to adapt to that. I've used the word adapt at least 47,000 times.
Hey, I mean, maybe we'll work it into the title somehow. Yeah. The Dog Mom Co. Adapt.
Yeah, adapt. Just that's the only title is just adapt. I think my community, especially Instagram community, has really helped me kind of figure out what they want. Because at the end of the day, it has to be something that people want to buy, or I don't mm-hmm. have a business, you know? So I post a lot of polls on Instagram, and just like getting feedback from the customers of what they want. Or I'll do like a comparison to see, do you like this design style? Do you like this design style? Mm-hmm. And just like in real time, if I post something, like launch a new product and people don't like it, that tells me what people like and what people don't like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not every product is a winner for me. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of, I guess, flops, as you would say. And not as you would say.
I have some episode flops. I thought everyone would love it. And then and then for whatever reason, it just didn't hit. So yeah. I know that feeling.
So it's also very hard for me to design something for the future. Like, I'm a very present person, and the farthest away I can really plan, maybe this is my ADHD, but like 3 months tops.
Yeah.
Anything past that, I'm like, that's another like century away. How am I mm-hmm. supposed to come up with this idea? And you know, I started doing these hand-drawn dog breeds recently, and doing like some seasonal and holiday designs, and that actually has helped me stay, like, to have something, because it's kind of a struggle where you're like, I have to launch something. How do I muster this like creativity to make something? But now that I kind of have, so Halloween's coming up, so you design a Halloween design, mm-hmm. you know, Easter's coming up, design an Easter design. So that's kind of helped to have like a roadmap to what I yeah. need to design next, like just the season, mm-hmm. what goes on in the season, let's design that. So.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good way of thinking about it. Not to keep referring it back to me, but I know that feeling of just asking the community, because mm-hmm. it's like you think like, oh, you know, this is what's trendy in the world right now, and this is what I should do. But then at the end of the day, if the community doesn't want that, if they yeah. want something, you know, something different, then it's just like you're there to give that to them a little bit yeah. as well. Yeah. It is an interesting balance of being happy with what you're putting out, but also giving the community what they want as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had shirts that I thought were going to be, everybody was going to love them. They were these intricate like designs, and I still have them on the shelves like 3 years later. So it's a 50-50 if what I design is going to be a good one.
Yeah. Yet again, a great example of entrepreneur story, because like you got to roll with the flops kind of and not take yeah. it personally and just keep on going and find the next option.
Yep.
Well, now that we've talked about some of the challenges you faced, what is your favorite part of the Dog Mom Co? Like, what keeps you showing up day after day?
I think building and looking back and seeing what I've built. I've always been like a hands-on person and like creating and building things and seeing the progression. So looking back and just seeing how far I've gotten and like mm-hmm. being proud of myself, like that kind of why I keep going at it. Because to be honest with you, in 2019, I almost gave up and sold business because I was like,
really?
This is hard. I don't want to mm-hmm. do it anymore. But and I was like, let's just give up. But I kept doing it. I said, yeah. no, we're not going to do that. And look what happened.
Exactly. You're definitely hitting all of my little check boxes. Of like, yeah, entrepreneur. Because that's my other thing. I love an entrepreneur story personally. So looking ahead, what are you excited for in 2024 for the business or for Dog Mom Life? Anything exciting coming up?
Nothing too crazy. I've got some new products and some new designs that I'm excited about. I'm trying to up my YouTube and post more on there, like vlogs and kind of some day in the life longer form videos, which is always, I really enjoy making those. But besides that, nothing too crazy for 2024.
Now, I would love, yeah, a day in the life vlog would be so fun to follow along on that, you know, just covering everything we've talked about today between not only dog mom life, but also mom life and owning your own business and just what that looks like, I think would be very fascinating.
I used to upload on there more, and I have some like day in the life videos on there, but once, I think it's once I got pregnant, I was like, I can't do that anymore. Yeah. I don't have the energy to. So I want to kind of come back around now that I'm defrosted.
Yeah. As you said, it's not like you haven't been busy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of this, Claire. This has been so fun. To wrap up, since this is the With a Dog podcast, what does life with a dog mean to you?
Life with a dog to me is just normalcy. Like, I've always had a dog growing up. There was a few years where we didn't have one, but it was always like, when are we going to get our next dog? So life with a dog is me feeling complete and grounded. Mm-hmm. They just kind of complete your life, you know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine my life without having some sort of dog around all the time. So.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone's said it that way of normalcy, because it's true. Yeah. When you have a dog, your whole life, it's like, it doesn't feel complete without mm-hmm. one. It means
you don't know what you're missing until
everything's normal. It can, like, everything's in balance and comfortable. Yep. Yeah. Great answer. If anyone wants to follow the Dog Mom Co. or buy your products, where can they do so?
You can find us on thedogmomco.com and on all our socials. We're just at the Dog Mom Co.
At the Dog Mom Co. Everyone has to add the, because I forgot that a couple times when I was typing looking for your account. And I was like, no. It's the Dog Mom Co.
Yep.
Go follow Claire, everyone. She's got some great designs, super cool stuff. And if you want to follow the podcast, it's at With a Dog Podcast on Instagram, at Carly With a Dog on TikTok and my personal Instagram. And we have new episodes every Wednesday. If you liked this, drop a 5-star review and we'll see you next time. Bye. All content on the With a Dog podcast is for informational and comedic purposes only. It should not replace professional advice, treatment, or diagnosis by a certified veterinarian, trainer, or behaviorist.